it. And now we're going to have a chat to our guest today. Hang on. Let me start that again. Let me turn your microphone on first. Sarah. Oliver, how are you? That'll make a difference. All right. Well, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. And, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. But I thought you used to do a radio show yourself back in the day.
Way back in the day. Contact FM back in the day. I mean, you know, that we're 30 years or more. It shows my age. Long time ago back in the student days.
All right. Do you remember what music in that you used to play?
Oh, well, the Chills.
Yes.
You totally threw me when you said, what music do you want? It's like, I know what I like, but I can never remember the name of the artist or the name of the song. But we used to, back in the day we had a woman's show. And we used to play things like the Throwing Muses, Look Blue, Go Purple, for those listeners my age might remember.
I remember them. I've actually played them on the show as well.
Oh, there you
could
go.
Could even slip in one of their songs maybe after this. Cool. All right, that's cool anyway. We're here to talk really mostly today because you're a veganic gardener, which is cool. And I'd never actually heard of that term, like I was just telling you, until I ran into you a few weeks ago on your property. But before we get into all of that, beautiful day out there. And how's the season been with you?
Yeah, well, we were talking about that before. So it's been really interesting. Late frost. We had all these early season plums, which we were going to bring down to the Raglan Growers Market, which is awesome, such a good place. And we were like, yeah, and then the frost took out all the early plums. So right this time of year, with those particular trees had been covered, and there's like three. And so I had one the other day. It wasn't quite ripe, and I'm like, I'm going to eat that. And it took out our persimmon flowers, our figs. It took out the plums. We've got other plums that are later that are fine, but they're smaller trees. So that's, and then the rain has come and we grow quite a lot of potatoes, and so that's a real challenge as well. So, don't say no to the rain because, but it's been a lot of rain. And like I say, I was in Hamilton working yesterday and there was hail. So,
I heard that in Hamilton, someone I was talking to, the roof in there where they were working flooded or something like that.
It was a bit of a challenge actually. And, so for growers, I think it's difficult and it's a sign of what we're going into with changes in the climate. So,
December hails, it's an unusual thing for sure. And where was that frost you're talking about? Was that last month or something?
Yeah, the frost was, when was that? Was that late October? It was quite late.
Yeah, it was quite late. Yeah, it was quite widespread throughout the Waikato.
Sort of like blueberry growers got quite struck.
A lot of asparagus got taken out and things like that, I remember.
For us, we had those fruit trees just on the edge. Not a lot of them, but, enough to just sort of compliment what we're doing that's reality.
When you're producing food, you're at the whims of the weather, right? There's not a heap you can do about it.
No
unless you bring it all indoors and you really want to do that.
I probably could have covered all my citrus, so that was great. I've got all these new citrus and they just started putting all their new leaves on. I was like right out there, I was out there sort of 10 o'clock at night covering all those, and I didn't actually think the plum trees are a lot bigger but hard to cover those. It's a challenge.
And you're on a beautiful property out there in Waitatuna Valley Road there. How long have you been out there?
So I've been there 10 years. My partner has bought the piece of land 15 years ago, and it was a paddock, so he just went hard out planting a lot of native trees, and then we just gradually developed. I came along and said, come on, let's grow food.
All right,
so we just sort of gradually,
so I suppose fruit trees would have gone in first.
I put fruit trees in. And then, as finances have allowed, we've just extended and now, as you saw, lots of it is either growing, it's either fruit trees or it's natives. Mm. Oh, we've got some other bits and bobs in there, but and garden beds.
And you're organically certified.
So that.
So when did you take that decision?
So I took that 5 years ago. I went along to a course on organic growing, and just happened to be run by Organic Farm New Zealand, the Waikato branch. And they talked all about getting certified, and that just kind of, I thought, that sounds really good. Mm-hmm. So we started along that. Like, we're on a long journey to grow to sell, and we haven't sold a lot it's our thing we do on top of our jobs. And but the organic thing's really awesome, and I can't speak highly enough about it because you learn a lot along the way. And I think I was saying to you earlier, there's just there's so much around soil health that isn't an organic, you know, organic certification that I didn't know. And then it just keeps you really honest because your peers come and you have an auditor come and you know, you have to show what you're doing and what you're doing makes sense. You get soil tests going. You get all your soil has to get tested for heavy metals, all that sort of thing, so that, you know, that it shows that it's good, you know, testing for cadmium levels and all those sorts of things. So, yeah, and then fertility, obviously. So, you know, and your peers and the auditor, they do ask questions once a year, come round, and there are questions, and so it's a really good, I think it's a great system.
Have you noticed much change in your soil, maybe, that would have been like 5 years ago, and since you've been regularly testing the soil, what I've noticed
in the soil is I haven't had a fertility test for a little while because the peer group said you're not showing that looks like it's depleted, so you're all good, we don't need to test it at the moment. But that will come up again soon. And what I noticed is just the worm count, the number of worms in soil is, so I was harvesting potatoes and it was just, the number of worms was just through the roof. So that was really exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah. And I put that down to heavy mulching. A lot of it's mulching, actually, keeping that soil covered.
Yeah.
I got some areas that, you know, I haven't got to or they've got, and you can just tell the soil just you know, it just, it's different.
Because you use a no-dig sort of technique, eh?
Well, it's interesting that we started off, we did biointensive, and we still are kind of biointensive, so we hand double dug all our beds, which me and Stuart did. And
so for those who might not know, maybe explain double digging.
Double digging. So double digging is not the old get in there and turn everything upside down kind of old school digging. It's a biointensive. I've learned that basically reading, and I got a book from the 90s. I got it in the 90s when I first learned about it. So it's basically you lift the top layer, you move it off about a spade's depth, and then we loosen the second layer and then put that top layer back. So you're not churning, so you're not bringing all the different layers up and churning it around. I wouldn't, now that I've done all those, I won't go through and do them again.
Yeah.
So those are done. And what the idea is, you're just increasing that air and then the depth of that soil. I don't know where I'm at. I'm still reading about whether I would do it now or do it again. So the latest beds I developed, I didn't do it. But I've just been, and this is what I love about the growing thing, so I've just been reading all this stuff from the scientist I don't know if you have show notes, but I can, anyway, but it's, and she was talking about cardboard, because we're all mulching with cardboard, lots of people are mulching with cardboard, we haven't been, and it was really interesting, because we'll use a weed mat to some of the straight out and some other weeds and stuff. When you lift the cardboard, everybody goes, oh my gosh, there's so many worms. And I've always done the same, like, oh, it must be great for the... So I'm not even able to provide you the name of the scientist, but I'll find it and can tell you.
Yeah.
She was saying that the reason the worms are all at the surface is because they can't breathe, because you're actually stopping the gaseous exchange when you smother with cardboard. And I was like, oh, what?
Right.
So don't quote me on that, but I'll just invite your listeners, if they're interested, go and do a bit of your own research into that, because never occurred to me. Again, would like to look at sort of, you know, peer-reviewed research to see if that's true. Has anybody actually studied it? But it was something I never thought about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, this article is saying use wood chip, and that's something I'm really exploring at the moment, is the use of wood chip in sort of vegetable garden beds and how you can go about that. So I'm doing an article at the moment on that, and I've talked to a few people about that.
And you say you're doing an article because you write.
I do. I write the New Zealand Vegan Magazine. I wrote their little article on gardening in there.
Is this monthly?
Four times a year.
Four times a year, right? Yeah. Okay.
I've got a little column called The Vegan Patch.
I see that here. As the worm turns.
Yeah.
That's what you called that one. Okay. Veganic gardening expert, Sarah Oliver. So I'm really fascinated by veganic. I thought it was just like a word you might have made up because it sounds cool or something, but it's actually a thing.
It is actually a thing. It's like, I don't want to kind of be known as the veganic gardener, but because I kind of, it's lots of different systems and it borrow, you know, it's not like this is, oh, how do I explain that? Veganic, I'll just explain what veganic is. So veganic is the idea of it's crossover of organic, but the vegan part of it, of the word, is you're not bringing in animal manures and blood and bone and fish, and which a lot of vegans don't want to be using on their gardens because they don't want to be eating it, they don't want to be using it on their gardens. So there's kind of been these systems developed around growing without those things.
Okay.
And they're not systems of growing that are vegan. I mean, they're really old systems of growing that cultures around the world have been using. I mean, you know, there wasn't cow manure here 300 years ago. You know what I mean? It's not sort of like, oh, vegans are doing this new thing. It's not like that at all.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a way of explaining to people, well, veganic, what's that? You know, well, it's kind of a crossover of organic and veganic.
So it's basically nothing from animals like, you know, like fish fertilizer, or what about like poo? Chicken poo and nothing, no poo.
And the reason I don't bring in chicken poo and stuff like that is because basically chicken factories, factory farms, I don't want to use anything that's come from factory farm. Meat, chicken, let's not go into that. But yeah, so I just choose not to.
One of my first jobs was working in a chicken house. You know? Oh man, wasn't a fun experience.
And I know you can get organic chicken manure and stuff like that, but that's just a line I've just gone, well, can I do it differently?
Yeah.
Started looking into it, went, oh, okay, there's different ways of doing this. Yeah.
Like what, Sarah?
Okay, what do I do? So we basically use, so cover crops, what I'll do, and again, this is a developing system that for me, it's a developing system based on what other people I've learnt. So I'll take a bed out of production and put it into a cover crop for up to 2 years. And in that cover crop, we'll have clover. I've been trying other things as well as alongside the clover, but the clover is in there for the nitrogen fixing. And
all three different varieties of clover, or
I've just been using a red clover. It's grows quite. Talked to a seed company and got one that grows quite tall because what I want is that organic matter. So I'll go through. I've got a scythe. I'll go through and I'll cut it down with the scythe repeatedly during that time, and then all the microbiology it just disappears back into the soil. It's quite amazing. And then I've put other things
while fixing nitrogen at the same time. Perfect.
And then I put in. I've had other things. I made mistakes. I put a grazing mix in, which I bought from King's, which is a great mix, but I didn't stupidly read the, which was just that's gardening for you. And it had turnips and it had brassicas in, which I didn't want in that mix because one of my first things in my rotation is brassicas.
I want a good gap
between my brassicas to prevent club root. But anyway, that's mistakes you make. Won't do that again. But it had chicory and lots of really good stuff in there as well. So that's one of the things. And then I'll use cover crops in between, like in my tunnel house. I've got the clover down the pathway. And then I go through and chop that and put it around the tomatoes as a mulch in the tunnel house.
Green, or do you like dry it out or something first?
No, put it on green. Just put it on the surface. Anything. And I use grass green and put it on the surface. I don't use it at a lawnmower because that'll just clump and become high hot. So don't do that. But we'll let our grass grow inside it and then put that on as a mulch.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It just disappears. It's like that's anything we can get our hands on to cover that soil, we use.
You know, I've only sparingly used a scythe, and I imagine it must be a really a nice feeling, like that rhythm of just swinging the thing as you're walking along. It must be actually quite cool, I feel like.
It's actually really quite cool. I can't say we don't use a weed eater and we don't use a lawnmower. Like, we aren't, you know, we're not complete purists, but I really like the scythe because, I can just pick it up, do a bit, and then go and do something else. It's not like I don't have to start it and then it doesn't work and all those sort of things you have with machinery.
But
it's really quick. That's what blew me away is you can actually go on YouTube and watch. Like, there's actually things of like someone scything compared to someone mowing, and they keep up. It's quite amazing. So I'm like, I'm about to get physical exercise while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And it's perfect for cutting grass, long grass, which is what we want, or taking out like a cover crop. I can just go through with a scythe and take, you know, go down a row, take that row out and leave it in place. Or so I find it brilliant for that.
All right.
Yeah.
Has been any kind of new designs or developments in scythes in the last, what, I don't know, 5,000 years or something?
Oh, there probably has. There probably has. We got ours, I guess, five or six years ago.
Yeah.
And I think it was an Austrian one we bought online or something. And it's pretty cool.
It's like a two-handed thing, like one on the main stem and another little handle coming off the side.
Yeah, it's got
like
two kind of come off the side. Yeah.
Okay.
And you just kind of swing it around.
Cool.
Yeah. So it is. It's quite cool. Yeah. I send Stuart out to do quite a bit of it because he's good at, he likes that sort of thing too, which is great.
All right. And so, yeah, it's a veganic thing. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And you were saying it's actually becoming its own kind of, what would you say, recognised or organised thing in like Germany and the UK
and,
or something?
There's different, like I think there's in the UK and I think the US there's veganic sort of starting to become like certification sort of systems as well. Yep. I came across something the other day, biocyclic vegan, which I think is a German kind of thing. There's different ways, and stock-free is a term that they use in the UK. Yeah. There's a grower, Ian Tolhurst, who I've actually interviewing for my next article, so keep an eye out. He he featured in the book with George Monbiot recently, his book Regenesis, I think it was called.
Yeah.
So Ian Tolhurst, I've bought his book, which I've learnt lots and lots, and he got into the system because where he was growing, he just couldn't get enough manure.
He's an Englishman,
So, I think, you know, and I think that's an issue. I did hear, some, you know, sort of how do we get enough to, you know, look at our, so he couldn't get enough, so he had to kind of go, well, how else can I do this? Yeah, so there's, there's the thing, there's a wealth of information now, we're so lucky.
Yeah.
But of course, you've got to find it, make it relevant to where you are and to what you're doing and to your land and to your own climate and all of those sorts of things.
We use a bit of
seaweed fertiliser.
Okay.
So I do use a bit of that, you know. So lots of different things for fertility building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just out of interest, have you noticed much difference between, the crops that grow out of the ones you double dug and your no-dig style ones? I always find that an interesting thing because, some people swear by one and the other and da-da-da-da, but yeah.
I couldn't give you a scientific answer on that. All I would say is that at the moment on my no-dig, I've got a no-dig bed, it's just one bed, and I've put in... So last year I had some leftover compost. We're trying not to buy in any compost, but compost, because buying in compost is a bit of a nightmare for me because I don't want to buy in compost with chicken manure or worm.
I suppose it's got to be certified organic.
It's got to be certified organic. Yeah, so I've got this one organic certified, and they will give me stuff before they add the other things into it. So that's been a bit of a mission to find that. So we're trying to produce as much compost as we can. And all my seed raising mix, I make all that myself. I don't buy any seed raising mix.
Is that just like sifted compost?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I sifted compost and I put a little bit of I've tried different things and sifted compost with a little bit of soil. Just a little bit of soil just to put, add a bit of microbiology in there.
Interesting.
Yeah, but sometimes you add in too many weeds doing that, so I tend to just use sifted compost. That is amazing. I have to say, learning to make my own seed raising mix has been a bit of a game changer because I'm finding the seedlings, once they go in, they're kind of humming.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because it's, I don't know. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you do by the moon, like try to keep it by the moon style?
I think that it's awesome. It goes in when it goes in. I've got the seed.
It's a great idea, isn't it?
I think it's absolutely awesome, and I would totally support it. I'm not a very systematic person, and it's a real challenge always for me to be systematic because, as I was saying earlier, going from trying to be a gardener to a grower is a real change, and one of those things is becoming really systematic and having really good systems. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think going by the moon is another layer that I think would be amazing, but I'm not there.
Yeah, okay. So, talk about that a little bit, like from gardener to grower, like you say. I mean, I can only imagine you've got to pick what's going to go off farm at such and such a date and make sure everything happens in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, I'm not there yet. We've sold a bit at the farm at Raglan Farmers Market, only a little bit. We've... and we've sold to friends and given a lot of it away because we're basically learning our systems and working in other jobs. So I think the thing that the biggest learning for me is having been a gardener for years and that trying to become a grower and like going, okay, well, how can we make the figures work so we can cut down our other work and do this means you have to be really onto it. Then there's the food, there's all these other layers as well. There's around food safety, there's around keeping production so you've got income coming in. It's another layer. We're working towards it. I did hear the other day of a grower that took them 7 years to get going, and I went, good, I'm on year five. Cool. I've got a few more years yet.
A couple of years to get a bit more organised.
And it might continue to be a part-time thing. Yeah. I just have admiration for growers, and we're working towards it, and we're producing a lot of food as we get there.
Yeah, yeah. And do you feel like it's been worth your while, like going to the growers' market and things like that?
I think the growers' market is awesome.
Yeah,
I think it's a great place for new growers to try things out, for people to see if it's their thing. It's so supportive. I've only been a few times, but I just think it's awesome. I would be there a lot more, but like I said, I should have got my potatoes out 2 weeks ago, but all this rain, I'm not sure I'm going to have a lot. Not sure that they're going to be good, but we'll see.
You've got a lot of potatoes, haven't you?
Yeah, I love growing potatoes, but it's just been so weird.
Yeah.
I think I think a lot of growers of root crops, it's a bit of a struggle.
Okay.
I mean, I won't make my millions growing potatoes on my size land, but I just love growing potatoes because I love potatoes. So there you go. But we're working on our greens and getting all our leafy greens and those sorts of things going too.
Well, that's it, man. You know, primarily you've got to grow what you love to grow. Otherwise, you're going to lose interest pretty quickly, aren't you?
In the sort of rotation growing, that's part of the rotation too. Sort of first year of the rotation is potatoes, and then you move into brassicas and move sort of the way down. So it's about thinking of what's fertile and what needs to grow.
Is it like a 4 year one you do rotation?
The one that I've been following is actually a 7 year rotation.
Right.
Yeah, right. But because we've kind of got more of a growing season in the winter, it's going to be a bit shorter. So we've kind of probably got it about 5 years. So we'll push a bed through to 5 years and then put it back to give it a rest and build that fertility back up.
Okay.
So because we can sort of do potatoes in summer, then go through to the brassicas through winter and spring, and then you sort of gradually just move down. And you finish off with your pumpkins and melons and things like that, and then but you've got to interplant as well between those so it's a kind of a there's quite a bit to it which we've been learning.
I think that's what I love about our growing stuff. I mean, it's like an endless thing of learning stuff all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. How good is that? There's not many things you can infinitely learn, like leaps and cool new stuff about constantly, you know?
There's just so much. And one of the things that I think I was saying to you earlier, like there's just learning, one of the things with the vegan magazine has been, I've been interviewed different people and there's so much out there and you just like, I just, when I was this guy that I interviewed a while ago, he was all about the New Zealand native worms. And, like, we've got 180-something, I think it was. How do we say? 128 native worms and counting, you know.
Different species or whatever.
Different varieties, species?
Varieties,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm not the scientist here. Yeah. You know, and 28 native bees and all these different things. Right. We're talking about our native birds, but, you know. So you don't tend to see your native worms. They tend to be around in the bush and on the edges, in the wild areas. But whereas in your kind of more your average backyard and paddocks and that, you'll see your more introduced ones. But so the more wild areas we have, the better.
How long have you been writing articles for the vegan magazine?
About 4.5 years. Yeah.
You obviously enjoy it then.
Really like it. Yeah.
Get to meet a lot of interesting people.
Get to Zoom them mostly. But absolutely. I've got one I did quite a while ago. I interviewed Dr. Mike Joy and that was Dr. Steve Trewich and Dr. Ngairi Hart who did her PhD on native bees. So lots of different stuff. So keep an eye. And some of them I just write about my experience and I've just written an article about growing chickpeas and things, so, yeah.
Do you know what you should do?
What?
A show on Raglan Community Radio. That's what you should do. Talk about all these cool and interesting things and all the stuff you do.
Oh, you're doing it. That's cool.
Yeah. I'm going to try and twist your arm to that, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Okay. So I guess we better wrap it up because I think Prince Harry's coming in shortly.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You were there, actually, weren't you? Down at Harry's farm the other day.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Had a great fun afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, he comes in here about 2 o'clock, I think, to do his show. So,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Great. That's another thing. There's a real community of growers, aren't there? It seems, I don't know how this sounds, but it's growing all the time, a different manner of growers. There's more and more people getting into it, which is really interesting.
It's really cool, and I think there used to be, and they were talking about that the other night, and I think that, you know, let's get back to that more where there's more smaller growers. I think, you know, there are more and more urban growers and different people around the place, and it's really cool. I totally support that kind of kaupapa of getting more people growing and access to land so they can do that and more businesses. It's cool.
It is cool. And if people want to get firstly, how do people get a hold of the New Zealand Vegan magazine?
I think it's you can either join the Vegan Society and that comes with a subscription, but I think it's also in Countdown it's in some other places as well. But yeah, Countdown has got it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm kind of hoping to have a website up with some of the stuff I've written in the past, so keep an eye out for that. I've got an Instagram, Flowering Bean Organic, so you can check that out. I'm not very active on social media, but I will
Flowering
have a website
Organic.
You can go to.
Okay.
Eventually. Yeah.
And you're in the motion of setting up the website, and that'll hopefully be up maybe next year.
I'm hoping to have that up early next year.
Yeah.
Yep. And and that'll just have lots of the articles that I've written and put things, bits and pieces up.
All right.
And
are you going to run like a diary thing? Oh, you know, like today I did this and next week I'll do that or whatever?
I probably won't. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I probably won't. I'll probably be...
It's a lot of work, yeah. You've got to do the work, then do that as well, yeah.
Yeah. I've kind of got enough...
Great idea.
It's like getting this website up. Great idea, but actually it's a lot of work. So, you know, it's taking a while. I might, who knows, get to a point where I can, you know, do a lot more growing and I don't know, it's a work in progress, we'll see.
Meantime, anyway, if you can go to Flowering Bean Organic Gardens on Instagram, is that? You got like do Facebook or anything like that as well? Or?
I haven't at the moment. I did have a Facebook page. I will go back to having a Facebook page once my website's up and running, just to kind of put it out there. And I hope to do some workshops on veganics. I did one probably about 3 years ago and decided I wasn't really quite ready. And like I say, between work and everything, but I'm hoping to do some next year.
Okay.
So that's particularly for people you don't have to be vegan to come to that.
Yeah.
But I'll be covering, lots of stuff, lots of growers are doing, you know, cover crops and all that sort of thing, making compost.
Out of interest, how many veganic gardeners are there in New Zealand that you're aware of?
What I'm aware of is that there's a lot of vegans who are gardening, who are really interested in trying to, they don't want to necessarily use, it doesn't make sense to have a compost that's just got blood and bone in it, say, commercial growers, I don't know of any at the... Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. There's one up north, Shangri-La. Yeah, I went... Oh, there's this... Oh, yeah. Check them out, actually.
Shangri-La, all right.
Up north. Yeah. Yep. They've got a beautiful kind of organic place going up there. So it's up near Kaitaia.
Oh, right. Yeah. Way up north.
Yeah.
Right.
Way up north. Yeah. Yeah, I went and visited them between our lockdowns and, that's really cool.
Awesome. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for coming in, Sarah. I feel like we've still got heaps of stuff to talk about. So what I might do is get you in when you've got, you know, the website's up and running and you've got the workshop dates organised and things like that.
Cool.
We come in and have a chat about what you might be talking about and see how that goes.
Happy to. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming. Really appreciate that. And I've just got up here, Look Blue, Go Purple, which is your favourite song, do you remember?
Oh, man, showing my age. Let's just go with Cactus Cat, because that's what I remember.
I really do like Cactus Cat. It's a good one. Yeah. All right, we'll play that one, Cactus Cat. Cool. All right.
Thanks
again for coming in this area. I appreciate it.
Thanks for
Have a lovely Christmas and everything
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.